Hello and welcome to our program. Today we're in Mark chapter 4. We'll begin today at verse number 26. As we look in Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 34, we have the Lord teaching them something. And then on from 35 to 41, we have them going through a test. Now, when you get taught something in school, sooner or later, there's going to be a test. So it is in life. We're going to look at this in a minute, but first, listen carefully to this message and song, "Let Thy Grace Be Sufficient for Me."
If I must be poor to know thy riches, dear Lord, take everything. If I must be blind to see the light, let my eyesight less be. If I must suffer in anguish to show thy grace be sufficient for me. Let thy grace be sufficient for me. Let thy grace be sufficient for me. And whatever
despise me for wearing thy name, let me faithful be. If I must lay aside my dreams to follow thee, let me not go astray. If my cross seems too heavy, please let me see more of thy glory. If it takes all of this, let thy grace be sufficient for me. Let thy grace be sufficient for me. Let thy grace be sufficient for me. And whatever may come, let thy will be done. Let thy grace be sufficient for me. If I must live and die a lonely life, just to know thee more fully. If I must lose my life and all I have, just to find rest in thee. Let me realize my treasure lies in showing the world more of Jesus. May take all of this, but thy grace is sufficient for me. Yes, thy grace is sufficient for me. Wondrous grace, all sufficient for me. And whatever thy will
Well, as we've mentioned in the first part of this story here, we have Jesus teaching them, and then we have them sending him into a storm. And so we have the teaching, and then we have the test. And when we come to the test, it should be our prayer, "Let thy grace be sufficient for me." In verse number 26, he's teaching them concerning the kingdom. And it says, "So the kingdom of God is as a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself." And so the first thing we see here is a focus on bringing forth fruit. He says in verse number 31, "It's like a grain of mustard seed. When it is sown in the earth, it is less than all the seeds that shall be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." We look at things today, and it might seem like the little grain of mustard seed, which is sown in the earth, but I've read the last chapter, and when you get to the end of this story, we see when it is grown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs. Well, he said in verse number 33, "And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them." He spoke in parables, and we talked about that in previous programs, why he did that. "However, when he was alone with his disciples," we read, "when they were alone, he expounded all things unto his disciples." Do you want in on the secrets of God? You need to be a disciple of God, not just one sitting in the stands. All right, now we come down to this story where it says in verse number 35, "And the same day, when even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat upon the ship, so that it was now full." Now, it says that he said, "Let us pass over onto the other side." Now, notice verse 36, it says, "When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship." Now, we've seen other stories where Jesus sent away the multitudes. Here, we're seeing the disciples sending away the multitudes. It also says they took him, that is Jesus, even as he was in the ship. Well, what does it say they took him? Well, we see here that he gets in the ship, and it's not very long before he is sound asleep. And I believe it. What it's saying here is his energy was totally spent. And it's hard to us to understand how God could have his energy totally spent. But Jesus was fully God, and he was fully man as he was here in this world. And he knew what it was to be hungry. He knew it was thirsty. He said he was weary. He sat on the well there in the book of John. And now here, I think he's just so tired and so sleepy, they have to help him into the ship, and he soon falls asleep. Well, it says in verse number 37, "There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." That's a dangerous situation. And it says in verse 38, "He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Well, it goes on to say they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now, it seems to me that he was kind of hard on them. The ship was going down. These are veteran fishermen. They knew all about the storms on that lake. And he rebukes them sharply here. Why did he do that? Well, he did that because he said, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? How come you do not trust me? Why was he rebuking them so harshly? Because he said in verse number 35, let us pass over on the other side. As we get to the end of this story, we find that they are on the other side. When Jesus said, we're going to the other side, then we are going to the other side. We should never doubt in the storm what the Lord has taught us in the sunshine.
Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful, for I know, wildly though the winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure. And it holds, my anchor holds, blow your wildest sail gale on my bark so small and frail. By his grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds, my anchor holds. Mighty tides about me sweep, currents lurk within the deep, angry clouds o'ershade the sky, and the tempest rises high. Still I stand the tempest shook, for my anchor grips the rock.
I shall not fail, for my anchor.